Hello there. Oh, I've got lots of letters for Santa today. And every year, they're the same. Some ask for toys, but a lot ask questions.
A yo-yo?
If you wish to give me a present?
I'd like to be a dentist.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Christmas Specials We Love podcast. As you know, our bread and butter here at CSWL, of course, is covering those Christmas movies and specials. However, if you know us, you know that we believe the holiday season begins October 1st. And if you really know us, you know that we would love to even extend that season further. But that being said, when you're talking about Halloween and Thanksgiving, you know, Thanksgiving, we look at as the early part of the season. And of course, the playoffs, Super Bowl, as it were, would be Christmas and New Year. That being said, today, co-host Christian Blatt has picked a fun one for us, the Garfield and Friends Thanksgiving. We're going to focus on the Thanksgiving Day holiday. I'm going to go around the horn, as they would say. Christian Blatt, as I said, you were the one who picked this for us. General thought.
There's a holy trinity of Garfield Halloween specials this time of year. Chronologically, it goes Halloween, Christmas, and then Thanksgiving. But that's not the order we watch them in because of the order of the calendar. Halloween's probably my favorite, but I love watching this one every year. There's not that many Thanksgiving specials. So this is one of the ones that we watch every year with my kids and my wife and I. We all get together and we watch it. And it just reminds me of how, as a kid, how much I loved Garfield. It was the right sense of humor. I believe this aired in 1989. So I was 13 the first time I saw it. And I've seen it most Thanksgiving since then. And my son's 8, so Garfield is in his wheelhouse. But even when he was 4, there's key moments in this show that he still, every year, from the first time he saw it through now, he laughs every time that he sees Garfield in the sequence. So, it's less than half an hour without commercials. So it's perfect for a little Thanksgiving day or any time Thanksgiving season.
Just a lot to unpack there, which I'm excited to get into. And Sleeman, of course, and general thoughts on the Thanksgiving Day special with Garfield. Yeah. Is it the first time you've seen it, right, Ann?
This was the first time I saw this. In fact, it was the first time I saw any Garfield holiday special. And I hate saying this because I know, Christian, and you just confirmed that you love it. I really wasn't looking forward to this one. I was never a huge Garfield fan. It's funny when we decided.
So you're saying you're Team Heathcliff? They're very divisive
no.
opinions.
You know? So, but I
it's
have
like
a
East
reason.
Coast, West
listen,
Coast hip hop.
Wait, yeah. Guys, listen. We don't want to get that started. This
you're right.
This dates back
you're right.
to Bad Baby versus Whoa Vicky.
It's true.
This
it's
is true. Middle East conflicts.
We. You know, I you're feel, right.
I'd like to think Heathcliff and Garfield, the various factions. While they don't agree, I feel as though they are finally learning to coexist. We don't want to start that up, although I am a little curious about the whole who came first.
Right.
But man, are you, again, we say this, we're calling this down the middle. We are fair and balanced here at CSWL. And are you, in fact, a Heathcliff fan? And please know, with Evan from Gen Z, who's here, you are in a safe space. So you can
thanks,
say whatever
Peter.
You want. You know, we're holding this space for you. Unless, of course, you say something Evan and I don't agree with, and then we will cancel you. But just
I'm having anxiety
tell us about because, Heathcliff.
Well, I don't even really remember Heathcliff that much. I was more of Team Snoopy.
Oh, this is a generational. Okay, so this goes to my generational theory. So Ann and I are aware of the Snoopy thing. And by the way, when I get into the production notes and the biography, you'll see the actual conscious ties to Snoopy. Yeah, I get that.
But
I get that.
Let me tie one funny thing, if I may.
Please.
To our generation. Yeah. So this did catapult me back to sixth grade when all the cool girls loved Garfield because he was kind of new then. And they were into Garfield and those Bermuda bags and purple. Yeah, the color purple. And I was like, yeah, I'm Team Snoopy and horses and the Red Sox. So as soon as we had to do this, I'm like, I'm back in sixth grade and I'm totally unhip. So I, like you said, Christian, I'm glad it was short. So I liked it more than I thought, but it's like vanilla ice cream for me. It was good. It was fine. But I think there are other things that I like better.
Got it. So this is the From the Lost Generation to Gen X. My theory, Christian, is because I was trying to figure out why you liked it so much. And I have a theory where we all, things from our childhood that we love, we still love as we get older. I think some of them don't necessarily have the quality that, but it doesn't matter. We're blinded by the emotions and the romanticism. And I know you, Christian, so you're so into comedy, the science of comedy, the dry humor. And I can imagine a 13-year-old Christian going from corny 70s shtick crap to this was really woke something up in you and it never left you and you share it with your kids. And I love it. As we do more of these specials, I think there's a difference between growing up watching, let's say, It's a Wonderful Life. And whether you grew up watching it or not, it's still one of the best movies ever made. Whereas you're not going to rank Home Alone as one of the top five movies ever made. But if that was your jam in the 90s, then you're going to be Home Alone. But I just always say to people, yeah, but just know the difference. So I think that's probably why Christian, just a theory, as I was watching this, I said, hey, Christian's an 80s baby, and I feel like that's why he took to the Garfield Thanksgiving special.
Yeah, a good example is one of my wife's favorite Christmas specials is the Chipmunks Christmas.
Interesting.
And it's because she watched it when she was a kid. I had seen it as a kid, but I didn't watch it every year, and we like rewatched it with the kids, and I'm like, this isn't very good. But it's a lot of it. It depends on how much a part of it was as your childhood. So long before this special, I already loved Garfield.
Got it.
You know, I mean, I probably the same age as my son, like 7, 8 in that range when I started reading the books, the collections. And he would be in the newspaper every day back when the newspaper was an actual paper thing that showed up at your house. And so I would always want to see what he was up to. And it was like very safe comedy, but you know, it's sort of like, you know, we were recently talking about Mad Magazine. It's fine for your kids to read it, but it is a little bit edgier than a lot of what's presented to kids in terms of humor. So it's more about being a Garfield fan. But yes, these shows, these are like the from the classic runs where you actually, you know, you have Lorenzo Music as the voice of Garfield. You have the creative team behind the specials that would go on and do the weekly Saturday animated series. Subsequent Garfield, I have no connection to, so I'm not that partial.
Yeah,
to it,
subsequent would be different.
I think some of the comedy in this does hold up.
Yes.
Some of it is still
there. Well, I think things in the 80s, some of these 80 cartoons were getting messier in a good way. Do you remember Kathy?
Oh, yeah.
She was like a chain smoker, and we were starting to advance. I mean, this is, you know, when Letterman came on the scene, I feel he really changed comedy. I think before him, you had Woody Allen doing some stuff in the 60s that was really clever, but the pie in the face stuff, literally the slipping on a banana peel. Evan, this is the stuff we would show that was funny. And I remember being a kid being like, this isn't funny. You know, someone on laughing would yell, makeup! And this big makeup powder pad would be slapped in someone's face and powder would go everywhere. And it was supposed to be hysterical. And I just remember as a kid being like, this is not funny. And then Letterman came along with the irreverence, the dryness. And I do think then The Simpsons, it really changed everything. Again, just a theory. And the other thing you touched on too is the lack of a Thanksgiving special. And I'm sure if we dig deeper next year, we'll find more. I think for me, it seems like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is the kind of Thanksgiving special. And Ev, I see you nodding. So that's interesting because that was probably made before you were born.
Yeah. Well, my mom loves that movie. So I was showing it.
So you were forced to watch it.
Yeah. In my house, this is mostly me and my brother. We also named Tower Heist a Thanksgiving movie, but we're like the only people who remember Tower that it exists.
Okay. We will have to explore that at a later date. So listen, coming in from Gen Z, Evan, your thoughts on this? Ann and I were 50-50 on what you were going to be thinking.
Yeah, I'm fairly neutral. I think I'm going to steal Ann's vanilla ice cream comparison. This was pleasant enough. Like if I was asked to revisit it, it'd be like, sure, that'd be fine. You know, solid 6 out of 10. I will admit, I know very little about Garfield. I know he's a thing. I know he's a cat that hates Mondays and likes, is it lasagna or enchiladas?
Lasagna.
Okay.
Well, you've just nailed everything you need to know about Garfield. He hates Mondays, loves lasagna. He thinks his dog brother is stupid. Mm-hmm. That's
I knew there was a dog and there was a dude named John. That was the only other two things that I knew. This was like fun enough. Some of the animation stuff was kind of fun. I always enjoy it when animated stuff like this embraces that it's animated, like the whack-a-mole thing with the dog being in all the jars, like that kind of thing. I enjoy when animation does that.
Which, by the way, since you brought it up, that's the sequence that my son still laughs at every year, even though he knows what's coming and what happens. It's like the familiarity of it. Yeah, it's interesting because it has that. That's sort of like almost like Marx Brothers level, you know, just sort of moving pieces and all that. You know, when I rewatched this for the first time a few years ago with my kids, I was reminded of the talking scale bit. The idea of talking scale still exists in comedy, even though I don't think I've ever known anyone who had a talking scale. You know, who are you, Orson Welles? You're my favorite director, Rosebud. I'm like, okay, so yeah, there's the different levels of comedy. There's like the kids are going to laugh at that. Then obviously they have no idea what's going on, just that the scale's calling him fat. So yeah, I think it's a little bit more sophisticated than, say, Chipmunk's Holiday.
Yeah, special, which again, sure, we'll have to visit at some point. Now, I do want to say there are a couple of things that are triggering. So we do have people standing by, Evan, that you can speak to off air. And we do caution that if you are, let's say, between the ages of 18 and 35, you may want to get a parent or guardian. I know many of you at 30 still depend on your parents like you did at 12. So you may want them standing by. You may need to phone a friend. There are definitely some things, Evan, I want to tell you that really triggered me. So I can't even imagine how you feel, but we will get into it. Believe me. And I see Ann smiling because Ann, were you as triggered on some of the issues as I was?
I needed a moment to myself. I needed the whoopee. I mean, I was definitely triggered and I wasn't expecting to be because it was from the 80s. I mean, once again, I'm excited to get into it, Kev, and I'm glad you brought it up now. So I know that we're in a continuous
let's just lay it out.
So thank you. Thank you, Kev, for always looking out for the betterment of all of us.
Okay, so
the 80s is the last truly triggering decade, by the way. By the 90s,
we started to clean it up a little bit, right?
There was the concept of political correctness and things like that. But the 80s, it's just a dumpster fire from 1980 through 1989.
Let's start out with the creator, Jim Davis. So prior to creating Garfield, like many of our cartoonists we've covered in the past, Davis worked for an advertising agency. Influenced by comic strips like Beetle Bailey, High and Lois, Peanuts, and BC, he created a comic strip of his own, Norm Nat. Well, he was told, art is good, your gags are great, but nobody can relate to bugs. You know, before I go any further, do you remember any of those Beetle Bailey, High and Lois, Peanuts in BC? We've been over Peanuts, but do you all remember? I mean, Evan, you probably wouldn't know these, but as kids, getting the Sunday paper and hoping you could get the comics?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the ones you mentioned were there on Sundays. They weren't the ones I liked the most. I liked Garfield as a kid, and Calvin and Hobbes and the Far Side, I think, were more my sensibility. I liked everything except Prince Valiant. Everything was worth reading except Prince Valiant.
That's classic. I liked, of those that you listed, I only knew Beetle Bailey, I think, and Peanuts. Oh, and BC, agree with Christian on the Far Side. And I liked the Kathy cartoons back in the day. And Ziggy, which was probably really bad.
I was a Friendly Circus kind of guy. Always looked forward to when his kids would do it once a year during Father's Day. They'd give him a break. Ziggy, of course, was amazing. There were some adult ones, Apartment 3G. And people like Evan in our world, they would read these. Not just we as kids, I get us reading them on the weekends because, you know, we didn't have YouTube. We didn't have all those things that kids have today. You know, during the week, adults would read the black and white versions of these. And some of them were serious. They were very soap-like. And, you know, one time I did a deep dive to see which ones were left. Not many remain. And I was fascinated with the last kind of publication of many of them.
Are you telling me that Mary Worth is no longer with us? Crimes are going to have to solve themselves now?
Mary Worth, my goodness. Yeah, I think maybe off season, away from the holidays, we may have to take a dive into comics. Anyway, so back to the original point with Jim Davis. Believing that animals were the funny way to go, he took note of how Snoopy was not only a steam stealer in the Peanuts comic strips, but also that he was far more of a marketing success than his owner, Charlie Brown. So he moved on from Norm Nat and Bugs and decided to go in this vein. However, he realized the comic market was oversaturated with dogs, prompting him to create a cat character. So from 1976 to early 78, he published a strip titled John, based on the owner. So he really took the model of Charlie Brown and was like, all right, John Argyle, I'll center on him, but the real star would be Garfield. But Garfield really just stole the show so much that he later titled it in 78 to Garfield. And then as of 2008, it was syndicated in 2,500 newspapers. It was read by approximately 300 million readers every day. And in 2019, he sold his company, Paws Incorporated, which owned Garfield, to Viacom, which is CBS and Paramount Global. And he's the third richest writer alive with a net worth of $800 million.
Whoa.
Right?
See, and I didn't even get it with the cat. I should have pivoted and went cat.
You should have went cat. Some production notes. This was, as we said, aired in 1989 in November. It was adapted from a book of the same title that Davis wrote in 88. This special was written by Jim Davis and Kim Campbell, and this is the only special that she wrote, but it was also produced by Phil Roman, who's still alive at 92. He's an artist who started at Disney and then went on to direct and produce all the Garfield specials. For the theme music, it was Ed Bogas and Desiree Goyette. Now, Desiree Goyette did the music for the series, and of the two songs in this special, she does and sings the music. In fact, she still performs and sings. You can, if you did Google, she even has a website. It's more, seems like show tunes is what she specializes in. We'll get to her in a little bit. The original network that played this was CBS, and it was the 10th of 12 Garfield TV specials between 82 and 91. It was nominated for a Primetime Emmy, which is pretty cool. And it starred, as we said earlier, Lorenzo Music as Garfield, Tom Hughes as John Arbuckle, Greg Berger as Odie, Julie Payne as Dr. Liz Wilson, and Pat Carroll as Grandma. So Lorenzo Music, who dies in 2001, which I didn't know he died that long ago, at age 64, was also known as Carlton, your doorman, on Rhoda, for any of you fans of Rhoda, and then really became super famous as the voice of Garfield. Talking about him getting the role, the competition was stiff, and I guess Sterling Holloway, who's the voice of Winnie the Pooh, was a sure win lock for this. But Jim Davis ended up telling the story that he looked around and he sees a room full of voice actors, and in the corner, he sees Lorenzo Music quietly licking himself like a cat. And he's like, that's my guy. 2001 was his last work as Garfield for a car commercial, but he did a lot of other voice work too. He was real Ghostbusters, Adventures of Gummy Bears, Pac-Man, Pound Puppies.
Can I chime in with a fun fact about the real Ghostbusters? So he was the voice of Peter Venkman on the real Ghostbusters, the character that was popularized by Bill Murray in the films. He did the first season of the real Ghostbusters. And at some point, somebody's talking to Bill Murray and he's like, yeah, you know, I really don't like that I sound like Garfield. So for season two, they replaced him with Dave Coulier, who does basically a Bill Murray impression. And I know this fact because I heard Dave Coulier talk about it in an interview. But the irony, of course, is that Bill Murray goes on to voice Garfield in two live action movies where, you know, he's CGI. But so he's Garfield in two big screen movies. However, he didn't like the fact that he sounded like Garfield on the Ghostbusters.
You know, and I'm a big Bill Murray fan, but I've been on the other end of that. And and that's, I'm sure that really hurt Lorenzo Music. And that's not cool. But I digress. I digress. And then in the...
It's just such an interesting turn.
I didn't know about Dave Coulier. You know, in the 80s, he also did voiceovers, including the Larry the Crash Test Dummy. You could learn a lot from a dummy. And I do remember that. He also did All Right of Fries. He did Twinkies. And again, it's an iconic voice. And maybe older people, again, I just knew him from This is Carlton, Your Doorman. It was just brilliant. In fact, I don't even remember a sitcom where you only had a voice that was that prominent. And you know what? We never saw him, right, Christian, on Rhoda? I think you just saw
him. Right. You never see him on Rhoda. Sometimes he'd have like a hat, a bellman's hat over his face. But he was usually only on the speaker. After the fact, you have Wilson, the neighbor, on Home Improvement.
Yes, you're right.
And then on Frasier, you have Maris, who's only ever talked about.
You don't actually
hear her. But this is definitely, for that era, this is the only character like that where it's just the voice. And it's such an identifiable voice.
Yeah,
obviously,
distinct.
He was well-suited for
animation. Tom Hughes, who played John Arbuckle, he's still alive. And like the creator, Jim Davis and David Letterman, attended Ball State. He was actually a frat brother of Jim Davis. And when he talks about voicing the character of John, he said in 2005, John is pretty much me, only a little nerdier. He needed to be sort of pathetic and vulnerable. He retired after Lorenzo Music passed away. Greg Berger, who plays Odie, is also still with us. He was born in 1950, so he's a little bit younger. He voiced Odie in several of the Garfield shows and was also additional voices in Super Friends, The Transformers, and the Transformers movie, as well as an underrated series I remember, Duckman, where he played Cornfed with Jason Alexander. I bet you, Christian, you remember Duckman.
I do remember Duckman, yeah. And I will honestly say I hadn't thought about Duckman in a very long time, but as soon as you say it, I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah.
Duckman, yeah, and he was great. And now he's huge in voicing video games, so I'm sure he's just fine career-wise. Julie Payne, who played Dr. Liz Wilson, was born in 1940 and had a bit role in WKRP, which in Cincinnati, which we're going to be doing there. Is it the Christmas or Thanksgiving Day special that you picked?
It's their Thanksgiving episode.
We'll be doing that in the upcoming weeks. She's on an episode as Buffy, one of Johnny Fever's old girlfriends. And in the mid-80s, she was on The Tracy Ullman Show, which was another super classic comedy. And as Dr. Liz Wilson and Lanolin in Garfield and Friends and in The Garfield Show, she went on to play several parts in Full House, but also was Larry David's mother-in-law on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Pretty cool. So Pat Carroll, who played Grandma and only passed away in 2022, was actually age 95, a Roman Catholic, and that influenced a lot of the roles that she took. But she was an Emmy winner, made her TV debut on The Red Button Show in 1952, and then in 1976 starred in an episode of Laverne and Shirley entitled Mother Knows Worst, playing Shirley Feeney's mom. And like a lot of those people from back then, did all the game shows, Match Game, To Tell the Truth, Password, etc. As far as the songs go, Make Thanksgiving One Whole Meal by Lou Rawls. I feel creatively it just wasn't even in sync with this, but I get it's Lou Rawls. And it's going back to what Christian probably said earlier, we don't have a lot of creative stuff for Thanksgiving. So I get where it might have made sense. And then the previously mentioned Desiree Goyette, who does a lot of the music for the Garfield series, sings the song, It's Quite a Celebration. And by the way, like I said, she is still performing. A lot of fun quotes in this. The more that you eat, the more grateful you are going to feel. If you want me to relax, take me to Hawaii. I could call out for a pizza, but I'm not going to call you that. And when John says he needs fiber, our fibers are for sweaters. I've been on this diet for 10 minutes, says Garfield, and I've already lost something, my sense of humor. Really, really fun stuff. I guess I was just indifferent on this, Christian. I could have lived without it, to be honest, but I like, you're winning me over just the fact that there is no other Thanksgiving specials that are out there.
No, I mean, there's the Snoopy one, but I mean, it's such a marginal Peanuts special. It's from like 1974. It's not very good. We watched that and this every Thanksgiving, oftentimes on the day at my in-laws' house, and nobody's really excited. As much as we love Halloween and Christmas Snoopy, Thanksgiving Snoopy, it's from that era.
Okay, so in the debate of... And this is good because Anne and me are Snoopy people. And the debate on Peanuts Thanksgiving versus this one, and weigh in on that because I disagree. And
so, Christian, when you started mentioning that, I thought you must be referring to the Mayflower series of Peanuts because I think.
No, that's way worse. Yeah.
Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
That's on the DVD. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to talk over you. But yeah, that's on the DVD after the original one. Yeah, I've seen
that one.
That one's atrocious.
I love the original. In fact, my sister and I used to make, and my nephew Colin is still all in on the Charlie Brown Kids Thanksgiving meal. Mm-hmm. In fact, we're planning on doing it this year. At a Famsgiving. I love the Peanuts one. It doesn't even the Garfield one, not even in the same.
Let me just interject. You should enjoy the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving while you still can. It's very close to being canceled poor Franklin is forced to sit basically at a different table.
Evan, breathe. Evan, where's your where's
Evan's? I was going to say Evan. Where's
Evan's nebulizer? And right. Auntie Ann, get the nebulizer. Are you okay, Evan?
I was ready to nerd out about Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
Let's hear it.
No, I was coming into this wanting to not, if we're here to cancel it for how Franklin's treated, I think that's fair.
I think it's totally fair. I want to cancel tomorrow. And please, let's get on that, and get the, light my torch, get me my pitchfork.
I think we can pivot it and say Franklin was a special guest and had the whole side to himself of the table because he was
a very generous, coveted guest.
He was such a special guest, Anne, that he had his own drinking fountain. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, that's more what it sounds like.
I'm Team Evan. I want it canceled.
I do really love that special, though. Like I've,
but we want it canceled.
Ev, you better not cancel that.
So Christian, I feel, first of all, it's fun that a bunch of kids try to make their crappy Thanksgiving. And again, this is contradictory Kev coming out as you just hear all my sarcasm and negativity. I look forward to these specials because of the sweetness. And I felt the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving had meaning because they learned the true meaning of Thanksgiving, which wasn't about the pumpkin pie and the peppermint patty. It was about everyone coming together and spending time together. And with this, I felt we had some of that with Grandma, but it was a stretch. I just feel it was just a 22-minute dance of just, yeah, do-do-do, like we're fun. But when I see specials like this, and I think we're all going to watch it once a year, and it's our big moment, I just personally like to see some meaning, even some of the, you know, I always say even some of the comedies from the 80s and 90s or Back to School. It's one of my favorite Rodney Dangerfield comedies. But even at the end, there was a great story between a father and son that drove it, you know, about a father and son who had been disconnected and they came together in the end through a lot of series of funny events. So that's why I'm Team Peanuts Thanksgiving Day Special.
Doesn't Snoopy maliciously destroy Woodstock's house in the Thanksgiving special? Or am I getting my Peanuts specials confused?
I don't think that's in that. I don't know what it is.
Because Woodstock gets a very nice furnished birdhouse in one of these shows. And Snoopy tries to fit in it. And he's so mad that he has this
makes the amazing meal for him at the end. The credit sequence is them having the most amazing Woodstock and Snoopy, right. Big turkey.
Can we talk about serving a bird to a bird? Is that something we want to talk about right now on the show? Wow.
Get me
my that they serve turkey okay. to a bird.
All right, so I've got a pitchfork. I've got a torch. What else do I need when I go out to cancel this?
Well, Kev, I want to get back to canceling Garfield because why wasn't Grandma invited to the dinner? She came in on a motorcycle.
And we've got many more reasons to cancel Garfield. Don't you worry. Evan and I are ready. We are armed. We are ready to go. We are insulted. We are triggered. You have no idea. I had a Kendall, my therapist, right now. She's on speed dial because I told her. I said, I watched this Garfield thing and you have no idea. Métis, calm down. She said, calm down, breathe. We did our breathing exercises. I did some havening.
Grandma was introduced in the Christmas special. That's why and I think that they just probably liked Pat Carroll and they figured out a way to bring her back. But if you do want to talk about, you know, cancelable behavior, I think probably not a great lesson for me to teach my kids from Garfield's Thanksgiving is that if you ask a woman enough times, this isn't the first time John tries to get her to go out with him. This is just the time she finally says yes.
A recurring thing in Garfield? There were a few things I was like, this feels like a running thing, but I have so little knowledge.
For years in the comic strip, she's not interested. And I don't think any of us blame her, really. They shouldn't be interested.
John is lame sauce.
He is lame sauce. I guess, not even cute.
Well, you know, it's like, I'm such an American fan. Because American storytelling, you take these characters, whether they're lame and unlikable, and you always arc them to a point where, okay, you know, there's something here that's redeemable, or maybe what we have perceived as weakness ends up being their strength. We saw that in Mad Monster Party with illustrious Felix and his Jimmy Stewart accent. But all right, listen, let's take it scene by scene. I want to go through this. And again, I caution everyone, there's just a couple things in here that might be triggering. So we've already said that. Let's move on.
So we start, Garfield and Odie wake up. Their sleepy owner, John Arbuckle, who we've talked about a number of times. He wants them to make breakfast and then he can go back to sleep. I think anyone who has pets or small children in their house yes. can relate to the idea of just morning. Do the thing we want and then you can go back to sleep.
And then you can go back to sleep. And that's exactly what my dogs do to me.
While they're in the kitchen, Garfield checks the calendar and he realizes that he has an appointment with the vet. So it's one of those old single day page calendars. So he rips it off, hoping that John forgets. But then he realizes tomorrow's Thanksgiving. So he demands John buy them food for Thanksgiving dinner. And of course, he takes Garfield to the vet on the way home from the supermarket. But there's a whole supermarket sequence that I think we all get to enjoy prior to the trip to the vet.
The trip to the vet, Ann and I loved all the pets in the vet. I thought that was amazing.
I loved the fish on the lap.
There's a horse. And there's also a cameo appearance from one of Jim Davis's other creations, Orson the Pig from U.S. Acres, who is the and friends of the Saturday morning series Garfield and Friends. He did not have an animated version of that show yet, so this was the first time that any of us got to see him in animated form. So he's just sitting there. Thought that that was fun. And yes, of course, this is the part that we prepared Evan for. While they're at the vet, John is just obsessively asking Liz, or she insists she be called. You know, she didn't go to medical school for as long as she did just to be called Liz. That's Dr. Wilson. And insisting that she go out on a date with him. But
yeah, once again, starts out good. Evan and I were fine. Yeah. I want to be called doctor. You know, that's great. Standing in her power. And then John teaches us that all you have to do is threaten suicide. And you can get the woman of your dreams to go out with you.
Yeah, exactly. So he faints and she's like, all right, fine. Don't kill yourself. And I think that's a very valuable lesson for how to deal with any kind of relationship. Well, if you don't do what I want, I'm going to. And I don't even think we're allowed to say kill yourself anymore. I believe Dick Masterson calls it going to Greenland. There's different ways to talk about suicide without having to use the S word. So we should try to embrace that. There's a throwaway line where Liz says that Garfield is healthy as a horse, but unfortunately he also weighs as much as one, so she puts him on a very strict diet, coinciding with the fact that she is actually going to head over to John and Garfield's house for Thanksgiving dinner. John, excited that Liz is coming over, but as we talked about from some of the quotes, Garfield is miserable 10 minutes into his diet. He gets half a leaf of lettuce. Odie is basically fridge blocking Garfield and not letting him cheat on his diet. And that's some of the sequences that I think that my kids still enjoy the most.
Well, okay.
Not being able to get at the food.
Listen, this is where Evan and I have a problem. And it's not just us. There's a community out there. Because if you Google, friends, is Garfield Thanksgiving okay for kids? You know what you will find for a response? No.
What?
It is fat phobic, which fits with the classic Garfield, but is not suitable for children, given what we know now. John brings Garfield to the vet. Yeah. Even though she says he is healthy in every way, he is fatter than he should be. So she puts him on a strict crash diet, half a leaf of lettuce.
We live
Evan,
in a time now.
Evan, breathe.
I'm breathing.
We're losing him. Evan,
we live in a time now where Lizzo needs to be celebrated for being so proud of herself and not concerned that she's pre-diabetic. We should not be interested. That's not our business.
Nope.
So yeah.
Again, I agree.
Different times.
May I ask a quick question though? Did that scene remind anyone else of the scene from Fatso with Dom DeLuise with the ultimate binge?
I don't remember.
Or was it just me? Oh my gosh, we'll have to play it one time on here with, you know, Dom DeLuise, obviously. My brother and I used to watch that movie all the time. And he's on this big diet and his skinny brother chains the cabinets in the refrigerator. And he starts the binge with just water and then he's going to have a little lemon. It's comic genius.
Evan, would you do me a kindness? No, Evan, would you type in while we continue to work through this? What is the current public opinion of the movie Fatso?
Oh gosh.
Please type that, Google that in, please, Evan, and then tell us what you get for a response. Christian,
okay, I'm
continue,
gonna look
please.
Up Letterboxd reviews. That's often a good starting place.
Okay. Well, you know, I just think the general Google one, you get the public, you get your people who, you know, even though they were all working 60 hours a week and working really hard and contributing, somehow they find the time to make these campaigns. I don't know where they find the time, because as I said, they're so purpose-driven with their careers and with their tasks. Needless to say, just like I said, just put out the Google out there. Let's see what we find. Christian, continue on, please.
We get the scene that we've already talked about with the talking scale, invoking the very current and kid-friendly reference of Orson Welles. I find it to be very funny. Garfield is wondering if he's hallucinating after he sees, you know, this is where we're talking about Odie popping out of the different containers, trying to keep him from getting it, cookies, flour, salt, and sugar, and all that kind of stuff. Very kid friendly in that respect, but we're giving them some bad lessons about body image and male-female relationships. So, you know, there's definitely a couple of big red marks against the special. You've got the authorities ready to be contacted. The next morning, Garfield is, of course, very upset, but John's preparing the Thanksgiving meal. And this
I loved it.
That John's a dummy.
So stupid and cocky. And just, I loved making the turkeys. Like, it says 24 hours to defrost, but what do they know?
Which, unfortunately, we used to watch this, my whole family, when I was a kid. And I guess my dad never paid enough attention, because after my parents got divorced, we were having a, I think it was for a Christmas Eve dinner, and the turkey was frozen. So I was like, didn't you learn anything from Garfield Thanksgiving? So,
and listen, you know what? I'm going to say this. Liz is not off the hook either, Dr. Liz, calling Garfield an aircraft carrier on Thanksgiving morning. Look at you. You're still the size of an aircraft carrier.
I know, one day.
Well, right.
Where do we stand with, I guess, tough love is the kind of love that we shouldn't have anymore, because she's essentially his physician who's trying to keep him on the straight and narrow and knowing how difficult
it is. But in a matter of minutes, so, she flips and says, maybe you can eat and just have some mild exercise. What was with the quick flip?
I think it was because they were at minute 19 in the special. So they had to
change their mind. Sometimes with this kind of writing, it's like I'd say the writer's hand got tired.
Might have been it. Yeah. So, yeah, he doesn't have enough time. So he goes for cooking it at 500 degrees. Doesn't want to waste time with the stuffing. And of course, again, John's an idiot. So when the directions say rub skin with butter, he puts it on himself.
That was fine.
And not upon the turkey. The vegetables go into some water on the stove. I mean, we don't really get the payoff of Garfield adding the garlic powder, by the way. I was hoping for, you know, a bigger reaction, but that's all right. Another sequence that my son still enjoys to this day is John trying to pick out his outfit for his big date when he keeps coming out of the closet in different outfits. This is also a fairly Marx Brothers approach towards comedy, I think, you know, just sort of berating you with a lot of different costumes. They do the same thing in Garfield Halloween, really, not with John, but they're just like, well, look at all these different options. Now, this is very troubling, I think, even in 1989, that John answers the door only in his boxer shorts. I think that's sending the wrong message to Liz. And if, you know, she should have definitely turned around at that moment. I don't know if you agree.
I don't even know why Liz, Liz must have no one to spend Thanksgiving with for her to show up at this thing anyway. I mean,
all three of the people in this don't. Like, none of them seem like they made any plans. They've got their whole days open.
Yeah, wide open. A random Thanksgiving. Yeah, definitely the writer's wrist was cramped. I love when, obviously, he's a failure and Garfield tries to sabotage the food, but that doesn't pay off either. Christian, him putting all the heavy spices in the food to, you know.
Correct, yeah.
It doesn't pay off. But I like, they call Grandma. I'm so grateful for Grandma, because finally we have a character that seems to me lovable and redeemable. And she comes in and kicks butt. I love that she's on a motorcycle. I love her energy. Yeah. And I love that she loves Garfield too, which is great.
Yeah, if we ever, whether it's this year or in the future, if we ever watch Garfield's Christmas, you're going to see Grandma and go, wait, is that the same character from Thanksgiving one? Because I will tell you, she does not have a motorcycle in that one.
Got it. Okay. I did also enjoy his version of entertaining Dr. Liz by going over the history of Thanksgiving and then all of the other Thanksgivings around the world. Japan's Labor Day Thanksgiving, Canada's Thanksgiving.
They have in October because of when their harvest is. And yeah. Kevin, I think we'll just decide right now, if you and I are ever in a room together and we need to get out of whatever situation we're in, that's going to be our secret code, is I'm going to start giving facts about Thanksgiving. And that's when you'll be like, you know what? I need your help. Can you head back out to the car with me? And we're probably going to leave wherever we are in that moment.
Well, you know, that was the other thing too. So Ev, was that when he talked about Thanksgiving, the history of American Thanksgiving, did that trigger you as well?
No, I mean, I know Thanksgiving has gone through some reevaluations that are, you know, necessary.
Absolutely necessary. We shouldn't even be doing this special. Evan, we shouldn't even be doing this special. I don't know why we're doing this. Christian,
this is 100%
right. Yes.
Remind me, does he use the I word to describe Native Americans in this?
Oh,
I feel like he did.
Yes,
because in 1989, you wouldn't have even blinked, and you know there would have been no letters written to CBS if he did. Mm-hmm. So I assume he did, and you know that's it's not Song of the South, but we can certainly frown upon it now.
Pretty low bar, though.
Have you seen Song of the South?
I have not, but I've heard enough to know that it's a low bar.
Yeah, but as from a sociological standpoint, I would say it's kind of fascinating. But there's something to be said for it in the fact that Disney would re-release Song of the South in theaters when I was like middle school age. It was still fairly well embraced.
It was always out there. Yeah. Evan, you've heard of Song of the South too?
I have.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, Zippity-Doo-Dah. Everybody knows that song. I mean,
Remus.
Look, the ride doesn't exist anymore. They've closed it and they're going to replace it. It's a little on the nose that you replace it with a ride themed around the only African-American princess that we've had. But that's all right. They're trying to make up for past misdeeds. But in any way, I know we're talking about Garfield here.
We're talking about canceling this special as well as Thanksgiving. Evan, after this, we wrap. We've got a lot of work to do, my friend.
This is basically, though, maybe it's out of boredom, I think, is the answer to your earlier question, Kev, as to why Liz gives it up on Garfield's diet. Because she's just like, I can't believe I'm here. I got this guy trying to be a walking Encyclopedia Britannica. Yeah, just whatever. So maybe that's what it is. That's why she lets Garfield. But then he, without asking, gives her a kiss. So I feel like that's, I'm talking about Garfield. I think that the cat world should also be aware of proper behavior with members of either gender, really. Or any gender.
So many issues on so many levels.
Yeah, I know. I'm starting to come around about why this special is so problematic. I might have to edit it down and show my kids an 8-minute version of it. John gives up on the frozen turkey, and I do enjoy the effort, the lengths to which Garfield tries, you know, because it's established that Garfield can't talk to John. We hear him, but John doesn't. Just trying to get him to call Grandma, I thought was actually pretty funny. When I was 13, it was funny. Then, of course, Grandma shows up, as we talked about. She shows up on the motorcycle. She's got a chainsaw. She's got a flamethrower. I mean, Grandma for the win. I think she...
Yeah, she was the star of this.
She's the hero of this special.
100%.
And, also, I believe my son Felix's favorite character in both Thanksgiving and Christmas. I believe she has lines in both of them that he really likes. So.
Nice.
And look, the Thanksgiving dinner that she makes, I would have loved to have had.
Now, Grandma was for the win.
Elegantly prepared.
A couple other things that were triggering. When I did some research about Garfield and Odie, do you know that they were both abandoned by their owners? Garfield was left to fend for himself in an Italian restaurant before eventually being adopted by John Arbuckle. And Odie was left behind by his owner, John's former roommate, Lyman. And there are various theories on what became of Lyman.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, he probably ended up in the freezer, if I had to guess. But in the earliest years of the strip, he is. I think Lyman's first name might be Phil, but whatever the case is, Odie. I thought I was talking about Opie for a second. The Odie is the dog of that guy when it starts. And he, I think, at that point doesn't live there. And so they come up with a way to get Odie to live in the house with Garfield because it was just better. Because Odie's not in the first strips. Because I had book number one of the Garfield collections when I was a kid. So I got to watch all of this. Garfield was also shaped different. He didn't walk on 2 feet. He was much fatter. There's a lot of differences in the character.
Well,
he evolved.
Unfortunately, the controversy does not end there. Yeah, back in 2017, a Wikipedia editing war raged over whether Garfield was male or genderless.
Yes.
You saw that too, Anne?
I did.
Yes, it was a controversy that ultimately forced creator Jim Davis to put the gender identity onto Garfield to settle the issue. But it
If it was created, it would be no issue.
Well, I guess, yeah. As long as he came out and said it was he was a he, a he, him. But
or are they them? Yeah.
Are they them? Evan, I know. Yeah. Listen, Evan, you're in a safe space. We support you, Evan. You can say whatever you want.
Okay. I didn't know that was a thing.
It was, yeah, so, I didn't either.
I've been familiar with this character much longer than Evan's been alive, and I didn't know that was a thing. At least it's not like Hello Kitty, where they had to come out and say, no, she's not a cat, she's a little girl. Well, then why is her name Hello Kitty, and why does she, you know, have a tail and cat ears? Well, she's a little girl. So at least they tried to tidy up this one in the correct way. And I don't know. I mean, if that's your voice, I'm pretty sure. But you know what? I don't want
to
judge.
It was, you know? It was right. Tough. It's tough for someone that age, Jim Davis, to defend himself too, because some of the quotes, he was like, I mean, come on, he has a girlfriend.
Right.
like a girl.
Her name's Arlene.
I know, yeah, but like, as if a girl can't have a girlfriend. You know, again, Evan, and I don't know where you really stand on this stuff because we're just having fun here, but it is hard when you have someone who's lived 70 something years and just doesn't understand. You know, it's almost like habit at this point.
There's been ways. If
they're against it, that's different. But sometimes even just, you know, to say something like that, like, come on, he's got a girlfriend. I can see where some guy in his 70s isn't going to think that through. And I'm sure if someone corrected him, I would hope would say, oh yeah, that actually doesn't really.
Well, he's in his 70s and he lives in Indiana his whole life. So I think, you know, yeah. the state of Mike Pence. So, you know, look, I think that but also there's a little bit of an explanation.
Let's not paint Indiana like, you know, sorry to bring up politics, but.
Well, I'm just saying that
I have zero idea what goes on in Indiana myself.
It's a little different than if he grew up, near the campus of UC Berkeley. I think it's a little different, but all these are, of course, important points, Kevin, and they should
Happy
all be
Thanksgiving,
treated
everyone.
Equally.
At least the lasagna makes sense since he was abandoned in the Italian restaurant. We can all agree.
Actually,
thank
you, Anne. I didn't even make that correlation.
He was probably much happier there than living with John, though, because he probably got to eat all the time.
John is just the schlub of. Talk about someone who just makes men look horrible. We digress, but
he's able to get what he wants. And, there's the line that grandma has to Liz when she leaves that, you know, basically she says that, Liz couldn't have found a better man than John and she better not blow it. And I'm like, well, if she can't find a better man than John, I'm going to assume she's met maybe one other man in her life. Because I think most of them are better than John.
She's a doctor. Talk about her bar being lowered. Listen, everyone, thank you so much for bearing with us. Always send us your thoughts and ideas on the specials you'd like us to cover. We're going to be dropping a lot of content from now until the first week of January, covering specials and movies, but also just some general chats too. As we've been doing, I know a lot of people wondering why we took our content down from first season. And we did that because we wanted to re-edit it, clean it up a little bit, see if we could add some more production value to it. Because we honestly were just having fun the first year. We didn't realize it would be as popular as it was. We'll be dropping them. The old episodes will be coming in fresh. Hopefully they hold up. On that note, for our friends over at Apple Podcasts who leave us reviews, we ask that you leave us a 5-star review. And in a comment, we do read all of them. I know, Anne, we have one or two that came in you may want to read for us, for Christian and Evan. I was very honored.
Yeah.
When you read them to me.
I know. Absolutely, Kev. We had some texts and some reviews on Apple Podcasts, so I'll share just a couple. First, shout out to Holden Brewer from the greater Chicago area. Holden, we totally appreciate your comments and your 5-star review. And some of the things Holden had to say was, this podcast made my holiday. It really helped me to get back in the season's feeling. It made me appreciate Christmas Day like when I was a child. You guys are awesome. He went on to say, it's been keeping me up at night thinking if you'll return. I hope you guys are back at Halloween, like you said. So like Kev just said, Holden, we are back. And I think we sent you a text as well to that degree. Also, I wanted to give a shout out to LS Swift on Apple. Thank you for your 5-star review. She said that she was extremely disappointed and discouraged to find that all of a sudden some of the episodes disappeared. And she was wondering if anyone knew where they were. And I think Kev just answered that. She went on to say, I enjoyed listening to them immensely. And one other quick shout out from Allie in Hawaii. Allie texted that she loves everyone at the Christmas Specials I Love podcast, and she loved the first season, and she can't wait for the second. Thanks for doing such a great job. Shout out to those three, Holden, L. Swift, and Allie. And to keep your comments coming on the text, that text number has changed. It's now 351-251-2511. I'll repeat that. It's 351-251-2511, and we'll also have that in the notes in the show.
Awesome. Okay, yeah, we look forward to your texts and also to more 5-star reviews. And we also finally launched the At Christmas Specials We Love Instagram. So if you want to subscribe over there, we'll post some nostalgic things, some things hopefully to get you in the mood, clips from the show, and I don't know, it might be a faster way for you to get in touch with us, but all the love we look forward to. We work really hard. We do a lot of research on these shows. We also try to have a little fun at Evan's expense. But we love Evan, and we love our multi-generational approaches. We do have some millennials that will be coming on as well as the season goes on. As always, more to come, and hopefully you'll have an amazing Thanksgiving, and let's get those trees up, people. You know, this isn't the 70s. We don't do it the week before anymore. It's our family. It's the day after Halloween, but even if I had my druthers, it would probably be October 1st, but I digress.
Nice, anyway, Kev.
That being said, we'll see you guys next week.